So I want to start off this afternoon with a line that you should all probably recognize from Mr. Frank's last church-wide sermon. And out of that, I got the title for today's message. I have chosen, this is not your father's atonement sermonette. Hopefully Mr. Frank's won't mind me piggybacking off his catchphrase that he piggybacked off someone else. But today I want to speak about something that I don't believe I've ever heard discussed on the Day of Atonement. But first, I want to talk about all the things that we're not going to talk about. We are not going to talk about what this day pictures, Israel's sin with the golden calf at Mount Sinai. We're not going to discuss the type and anti-type of the relationship between Moses' intercession to God on Israel's behalf for their atonement and Christ's intercession to God for each of our behalves and on behalf of all of mankind. We are not going to discuss the many different sacrifices that were performed by the Levitical priesthood on the Day of Atonement, nor are we going to discuss the two goats and the significance that each has in its representation of both Christ and Satan. We're not going to read about the blood and how it was used under the Old Covenant to wash away the sins of Israel, or why sin offerings required blood sacrifices rather than that of grain or drink. We will not read about the layout of the tabernacle and the thick veil behind which lay the holy place and God's throne on earth, or how the high priest was only allowed to enter this area once a year after extensive washing and donning the holy garments, offering sin offerings for himself, his household, and all of Israel. We're not going to investigate the significance of that veil being torn in two, giving direct access to God for each of us as Christ drew his last breath nailed to the cross. Finally, we are not going to look into the future and how the Day of Atonement pictures Satan and his influence being bound and removed from the world for 1,000 years, nor what happens when he is released for a time. So what else is there to talk about on the Day of Atonement? Now that we're through talking about everything that we're not going to talk about, we can get to the actual message. Like Mr. Gore said last week in Jefferson, last Sabbath, he said, that was all extra, no charge. I'd like to share some information about current Jewish customs and traditions and their keeping of the Day of Atonement, also referred to as Yom Kippur. Hopefully no one here will get this back to Dr. Levy, because I'm sure that he would be able to pick and nitpick everything I have said about Judaism and could probably correct a lot of it. Most of my sources were online. They are not peer-reviewed. I did check multiple sources, but I'm not guaranteeing everything. And also, since the Jews are still human, they all don't quite agree on exactly how to keep the Day of Atonement. So there are definitely some differences between where and sex and even the different synagogues. So what is atonement like in the Jewish community? First, Yom Kippur to the Jews is what Easter Sunday is to modern Christianity. If you don't go to the synagogue at all throughout the year, the one day that you will go would be for the Day of Atonement. It's referred to as the Sabbath of Sabbaths to the Jews. Yom Kippur is kept on the 10th day of the 7th month of Tishri on the Jewish calendar. This is kept from sunset last night to, actually they keep it until after nightfall tonight. And this ends up being, once again, depending on which sect of Jews you talk to, somewhere between 25 and 26 hours is what they keep, rather than the 24-hour sunset to sunset that we typically observe. However, just like the introspection and preparation that we might undergo in preparation for Passover, the Jews begin a similar preparation period, once again, 10 to 40 days ahead of time. This preparation includes additional prayers, and scripture readings at certain times each day. The day before, and yesterday, is also a very special. There are typically two large festive meals eaten that day in preparation for the fast. One would be in early afternoon, and one just prior to sunset. I assume all of us probably had that slightly larger than normal meal last night before sunset. Sat there with our glass of water, taking a few last sligs before we finally had to dump it out and put in the dishwasher so it wasn't sitting there on the counter just staring you in the face, tempting you to come get a drink. Maybe not. Okay. There are lots and lots of different customs that go along with this preparation day. One very interesting one that I'll explain involves swinging a chicken around or waving a chicken around above your head three times while reciting a this is not just Wikipedia, I promise. You look it up. You wave a chicken around your head three times while reciting a prayer. And what they are asking for is they are asking that God can impute any harsh judgments that they may have earned on the chicken instead of yourself. And then for further goodwill, to make sure that God does accept it, you slaughter the chicken and give it to charity, because anything done for charity is obviously good. Many other acts of charity also happen during this preparation time, all with the effort to atone oneself before God and not receive any harsh decrees over the next year. I guess this is also the, the civil calendar. This would be the new year. So this is their new year celebration. So they are looking to God for a positive outlook for the following year, or the upcoming year. Charity and forgiveness are both areas of focus in the preparation for Yom Kippur, just as they are seeking the favor and forgiveness of God. Jews will seek out others in their lives to ask for and offer forgiveness. Much charity is offered as well. Donations and gifts, as well as meals for the hungry, are very common. And that is definitely a typo. It is taught that these acts of charity are a, and I will quote on this one, great source of merit and serve as protection from harsh decrees. Many congregations will organize food drives or other community outreach programs like donations to shelters or orphanages, similar as we will do at the Feast of Tabernacles a lot of times. These acts are focused on forgiveness. Now, the rest of the day of Yom Kippur, after sundown last night, the first of five services will begin. The next day, there are four more services held from morning to sunset. One source even is quoted saying, from the evening of the holy day until sundown the following day, except for the few hours when they go home to sleep, Jews are in the synagogue beseeching God for forgiveness and reflecting upon the course of their lives. These services are very ritualistic, and a separate prayer book is used only this one day out of the year. The services consist of many readings from the Torah, both by individual and by the congregation. There's lots of history recounted, especially around the events that took place with ancient Egypt, Israel around Mount Sinai. There are songs and other prayers that are set to music with other rituals that are specific to this one day of the year. Some Orthodox Jews have specific robes that are worn on few occasions, including Yom Kippur. The service ends, the final service at sunset, The service ends with the blowing of the shofar, then after nightfall is what I was looking for, there's a generally festive meal that everyone breaks the fast. There are five general prohibitions. That is to say, in Orthodox Judaism, there are lots of other prohibitions, but there are five very commonly recognized and very specific to Yom Kippur. One, no eating or drinking. Two, no wearing of leather shoes. Three, no bathing or washing. Of course, there are some exceptions to that rule. No anointing with perfume or lotion, and no marital relations. In general, these were all focused around avoiding worldly pleasures or indulgences in order to focus on human frailty and to make atonement with God. So why all this talk about how the Jewish community keep the Day of Atonement? I thought it an interesting contrast between how we keep this day and how others keep the same day described in the same scriptures in the same Bible. There are definitely some commonalities. We also afflict our souls for a 24-hour period from sundown to sundown. We also have a holy convocation and offer an offering to the Lord, a little different this year than usual. Our offering's not made by fire or a chicken. We use this day to focus on God and anything that we may be putting or allowing to come between us and God. Fasting, prayer, and meditation are the tools that we use to identify and set out to remove these items and bring us closer to God. Now's where some of the differences come to play. We are not seeking forgiveness for our sin. Repentance and forgiveness for sin are what we focus on primarily during the Passover season that was made possible by the sacrifice of Christ. Jews do not believe in the sacrifice of Christ, so they are still seeking forgiveness and physical blessings by physical sacrifices. So much of their tradition is for a remembrance of the past and a continuation of those physical acts. They are seeking forgiveness of sin in order to receive a verdict from God for another year of life, health, and happiness, all physical aspects. We are to be seeking spiritual blessings and eternal life with spiritual growth and spiritual sacrifice. Another key difference is our focus on what this day pictures in the future. The time described in Revelation 20, when the angel of the Lord will come and bind Satan, thus removing him from between us and God. So I guess I'm going to talk about one of those things that I said I wasn't going to talk about. Well, we understand the history of the day, but our focus should be on the future. Always looking forward, never back, looking to a time when all mankind will have an opportunity to know God and be able to see him as he is. Then they will have their chance for a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. With that, we can get on with keeping our Day of Atonement, and I'll leave you with one last Jewish anecdote by saying, may you have an easy feast. Easy, an easy fast, followed by a wonderful feast.